Important dates in Christian history. 1807. The British Parliament votes to abolish the slave trade. Its decision is owing in large part to the tireless efforts of the Christian politician, William Wilberforce. Wilberforce's example spurred on abolitionist efforts in America for the next 55 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We give and we give and we do and we do. You sound exhausted. This is Wretched Radio. You're bummed because everything at Fortis Plus is free and you just really wanted to spend some money, but now you feel like you can't and you are frustrated. Well, we're here to relieve that frustration because it is my pleasure, having done some research and reading the piece of paper that somebody put on my desk, Greg Gifford's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, 50% off at Barnes & Noble. Yeah. What's up with Barnes & Noble? You know what? I have a confession to make. I'm shocked Barnes & Noble is still open.
Really?
I know people go in there. I see them go in, but I don't see them come out with much. they grab a cup of coffee at the mock Starbucks, and then they sit there in the comfy chairs reading the books. I'm not sure how many people are actually buying. Nevertheless, Barnes & Noble has Lies My Therapist Told Me at 50% off. If you have not availed yourself of that book, you will benefit from it and you'll be able to spend that money you've been itching to spend. Would you please send stuff to idea@wretched.org? If it's a wretched article, story, it doesn't have to be a national sort of affair. It just needs to be, you know, wretched. Send it to idea@wretched.org.
And if you really want to spend money,
you're not gonna give out your home address.
No, I'm just thinking about selling some 8x10s.
8x10s.
Yeah, will you put them on the Fortis store?
8x10. What are you talking about?
8x10 photos of myself.
Oh, but are they autographed?
That's extra.
Okay. All right. I am not at liberty to disclose about whom I'm going to speak, but I know an individual who is an author and a really big selling author. And apparently for autograph book, when it's a really big book and it's a really big deal, I didn't know this because you know, we're just not in that league, that they send to the author just the page, like a blank page. And then they can sign just a piece of paper as opposed to the entire book. Because, you know, you got to ship it and then ship it back. And you got the books and the weight and the half.
They just bind the page in?
And then they bind the page in.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And I can't remember the number that this author had. But it was, I kid you not. No, I do remember the number. 5,000 wow. Signatures. Oh, man. That's a big selling book. Lies My Therapist Told Me. I'm sorry, it's not autographed by Greg, but it's a good deal at Barnes & Noble, 50% off.
All right, this is from Chris. Todd, I know two young Amish men who are considering leaving the Amish community. They asked me for some advice, and I'm not so sure that I should influence them one way or the other. I share the gospel with both. They seem very receptive. Their community frowns upon them spending too much time in the Bible, but they're hungry for more. So how should I proceed?
I think there are two paths you can consider. First is letting the Holy Spirit do the persuading. I would fear, and I think that fear is expressed in that email, that you want to be careful that you don't tell somebody what to do, because I think we all know that in the Amish community, if you're no longer Amish, you are cut off from everything, work, family, the land. You are just separated. And that's a really big decision. And for you to be pushing them to escape that environment, because look, they can stay there and still be a Christian. They can, if they would make that decision because they want to stay with their family or there are other dynamics at play, they can still be a Christian there. It's going to be a little harder, but it certainly can be done. So I think your instincts are right, that you don't want to be telling them what to do. Leave it to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit convict them. Let the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say it, lead them so that the decision is theirs. Because if they make that decision because you kind of pushed or pressured and it's going to be hard, they're not going to be thrilled with you. Furthermore, it's such a massive life shift that I think you need to be really careful about how much influencing you do. But you don't have to worry. The Holy Spirit is a better influencer. Second path you might want to take, find a former Amish ministry. There's plenty of them out there. And there's plenty of individuals who used to be Amish. And they go Googling on the internet machine and find these places and ask them, what was the best way? What resources could you provide? If these guys decided to do this, could you find that information and say to them, hey guys, I hope this doesn't contradict path number one. Hey guys, decision is yours. Either way, do it between you and the Lord. You're not sinning. Should you choose to leave, here's some folks who are willing to help you. And then you can just be a good servant to them in providing resources of those who have gone up before them. Jimmy, you got anything else?
That's just a tough community.
It's a tough community, but also, I know that you can't just say the Amish are this. Because the Amish, you talk about fractured. Well, they beat us like nobody's business, and we're pretty fractured at the moment. It's every not principality, every my is stuck. A precinct, something like that. There's so much land. And there's an individual who gets elected to be the pastor. And that individual writes the rules for, we're just going to use the word precinct until Jimmy finds it here. You got it?
No. I think they call the pastor the bishop, though.
Okay, so the bishop. See if you can find out what they call the little square territory that they get. Because if you go to Amish land, you go to Apple Creek, Ohio, which is really lovely. And there's a really good church there, by the way. It's not like, that's all the Amish people. No, in their little, we'll call them quadrants or precincts, that's one group and then another group and another group led by another bishop with another set of rules, another group with another bishop with another set of the rules. It's not homogenous. It's very varied. And there are some of those precincts that are sound. They actually know the gospel. Yeah, I think that they don't understand Christian liberty, which you can still get at fortisplus.org for free. They don't understand that you don't have to reject looking like the current culture, unless, of course, it's sinful, that you can enjoy advancements, that you can enjoy technology if used rightly. So they're confused about Christian liberty. Okay, are they square on the five solas? Do they understand justification by faith alone? Is there nothing wonky, meaning heretical, in their statement of faith? Well, then they're just confused about Christian liberty. But they're believers, and I think that there are some Amish believers. I think there's some Mennonite believers. But there are some that are indeed underneath a work righteous system. But it's not all of them. Jimmy, you find what the thing is called?
The most common term they say is called the settlement.
The settlement? Uh-huh. That's not the word I was remembering. I think the internet is wrong. So we'll just live with precinct. 877-282-2337.
This is from Kenyon. Todd, I'm a 13-year-old Christian boy, been saved for a few years, but I was wondering where I can share the gospel more. What would you suggest? I don't know when it's appropriate to share the gospel because kids my age are very awkward about this.
Did he say he's from Kenya or his name is?
His name is Kenyon.
Kenyan.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, it's actually the reason I asked is, well, first of all, I don't want to offend by misusing his name. Second of all, it does matter where you live. That's why I always encourage reconnaissance before going out to evangelize. Just check out the territory. What's the vibe? What's the mojo of people in that particular zip code? Because you don't want to offend. You want this, here you go. This is finally Romans 9. You become all things to all people. You don't change the message. You don't compromise the message. You contextualize yourself so that you don't become the stumbling block. So always do reconnaissance. And so to this young man, I would say, well, you're going to have to do the sleuthing work on this. I want you to think it through. All right, you've asked me, I'm going to give you some ideas, but I want you to see if they make sense and see what other opportunities you might see. All right, classmates, that's don't use it's awkward as your excuse. You understand the gospel. They can too. Just be cool about it. We realize the gospel is more important than the Whataburger that's opening up down the street. But make your conversation about spiritual things a Whataburger conversation so that it doesn't feel like you're trying to proselytize them. Are you? Yes. Should it feel like it? No. You could always hand out stuff at school. Yep, you're going to be labeled and identified as that kid. But you could hand out gospel literature. It's not illegal to do that. You need to do it. I think it's wise to be on the sidewalks. Don't impede progress into the building. Don't disrupt the classroom. But you could pass it out. You could give it to them in the hallway. Create something that you think would work for that particular group of people. Identify what they're about, what message might resonate. Print it up, design it, and then give it to them. You could always go to public places. You could go to parks and hand out things. Or just sit down and ask people, hey, could I talk to you for a moment about the afterlife? You'll be shocked at how many people say, sure. And they might be stunned at what comes out of your young mouth. All that to say, way to go, dude. And I mean it. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at fortisplus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are here to serve. This is Wretched Radio. You've still got the itch to spend some money on Christian stuff. Well, you can't do it with us. No siree, Bob. Everything is free at FortisPlus.org. But we did further research, and it looks like if you really need to spend some money, you could visit WJLU.org.
That's it. There you go.
I learn eventually. WJLU.org and join us in Daytona Beach, Florida, September 5th and 6th for the Cornerstone Conference with a bevy of people that you know. That's right. A bevy of people that you know. Ken Ham, H.B. Charles, Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Stephen Nichols. I'm excited to meet Stephen Nichols from Ligonier because for no reason other than it just never worked out. I've never really had any sort of relationship with Ligonier. So it'll be nice to be able to spend some time with Stephen and you at the Cornerstone Conference, WJLU.org, where you can spend some money. You're welcome. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337.
This is from Kenny. Todd, I was listening to the segment earlier this week on Celine Dion and started thinking about idols, the idols I have in my life. I'm currently 20 years old and very into fitness and training at the gym, but I get really discouraged when I fall off my strict schedule. Does that make it an idol? Even though it's healthy for me to go, should I cut it out? Or should I take a break to refocus my effort on building the temple over the flesh?
There is one and only one individual who can render the verdict to determine, is it an idol or is it simply enjoying a good and perfect gift? Working out is a gift. Exercise, playing game, those are gifts. We take them, we enjoy them, unless they cross the line into idolatry. Here are a couple of words that might help you. Do you want to go to the gym or do you need to go to the gym? If you need to go to the, like, I need to go. Now, I get it. You feel out of sorts when you don't work out or you don't exercise. But that, you know, you feel a little logy. But what I'm talking about is our heart's desire. No, I just got to be there because if I fall off, then my bicep might lose an eighth of an inch. Okay, then you're probably heading into idolatry territory because it has become a need. So ask yourself the question, do I want to go to the gym and stay fit because I do want to take care of my temple? Or is it something that you've got to do or you die? That is why I'd also focus on another word. You said when you don't go, you're discouraged. Unpack that word. Check out its synonyms. Maybe there are other words that would better describe what's going on in your heart. You're discouraged. Now, again, is that a feeling like, I missed a day working out. I missed my day walking. Like you missed your day gardening or you missed your day knitting. It's like, okay. I'm bummed out about that. Well, that's different than being discouraged because discouraged, if I'm just going to take it at face value, means you're unhappy about the consequences of not being able to do something to make your temple look spectacular. Which I think is another angle for you to consider. Why do you want to work out? If you want to work out to be in shape, cool. If you want to work out so you can just fill out a suit, I get that. Because as scrawny as I am, how scrawny are you?
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm like Gumby without the rubber part is what I'm trying to say. I am scrawny. And so just go to the gym just so that I don't have to wear like a boy's suit, like a 34 suit. I go to the gym and take care of it. But that's different than being a preener and a poser so that everybody can see you and look at you and stare at you and perhaps idolize you. There could also be a component of pride involved. There could be an element of fear of man. It could be desiring the praises of people. So you gotta search your heart, and only you can render that verdict. Can you get help? Can you have people ask you, hey, earlier, did we do that this week? that we talked about heart questions. Yeah, use those questions. Yeah, it was the Celine Dion thing.
Yeah.
Use those questions. And by the way, I got a Celine Dion email sent to me. Todd, it said something like, I'm not going to do it justice because it was, the guy needed to repent. I'm just telling you, he should just repent. He said, even though Celine Dion can no longer sing, her music will go on and on. And then he said, I'll show myself to the door. So at least he was self-aware. 877-282-23. By the way, I think I've shared this before. If you're a young man and a young woman, because I have been told by Mrs. Friel, this goes on inside of the women's locker room, the staring at yourself in the mirror, we can see you. Okay, we can see you. I see these guys. They're usually younger and usually a little bit on the scrawny side. With the, you know, they got mirrors in the gym walls. So you, I guess, check out your form. Some people just use it to check out themselves. And they're doing the Schwarzenegger poses, you know, with showing the bicep with the leg and on your, and it's like, hello, I know you think that you're the only person on the entire planet, but there are people who can, just because your mind is not aware of anything else or anybody else doesn't mean we can't see you. So if you're young, stop the preening. Stop the posing. Stop the looking at yourself in the mirror, because my experience is, as a rule, you still have some opportunity for growth. Let's just put it that way. 877-282-2337.
This is from Summer. Todd, my husband has recently become a full-time pastor. We left a church that we loved dearly, where he served as the associate pastor. I was an integral part of the praise team and have been asked to return to sing in their special Christmas music. Is this a good idea? We don't want our new church to feel as though we're unwilling to let go of our old congregation, but I also selfishly would love to sing with my old praise team again.
Yeah, I get that. You know, you're not the called individual, but I don't want to say that you have a biblically ordained position, but everybody knows that you're the pastor's wife. Now, I say that not to put an extra burden on you, but I'm going to, because we all need to consider what am I speaking to my body? I'm talking about my church body. What am I communicating to them? Now, let's just say you're not the pastor's wife. You're not the pastor. You're not an elder. You're not a deacon, but you're a member of a local church. When you don't show up on Sunday, we all know it. And everybody tries to give the benefit of the doubt. They must be traveling. They must be doing something. But if it were discovered, you know what? Hey, on this Sunday, I just decided to go to another church. Oh, that communicated something, didn't it? It communicated that this body of which you are a part isn't preeminent. And so whatever the scenario, the dynamic is, we all need to consider what our presence is communicating. So let's just say that you've got a situation where the other church has invited you. And if it's not at the same time as your church service, go do it. I mean, make sure that, you know, that whole selfish part is gone, but go ahead and do it. But if it's at the same time, you do need to ask and answer the question, what will I be communicating to my body? And it doesn't matter if you're the pastor's wife or not. And just based on doing that from afar, I do think that you would be communicating the very thing that you're concerned about saying by being absent on Christmas Eve. Somebody might argue, well, that is not a mandated service. I agree with you. We don't have to go to church on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Very few do both these days. You don't have to, but you're still communicating something. And if I could, for all of us, we need to remember that. When you're thinking about not going to church just because it's raining, you're tired that day, let me put this in a positive way. I think we've just heard the negative way enough. How's about this for a positive way? You encourage us. You encourage. When we worship together, it's not a singles event. This is a corporate affair. How do we speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? How do we do that? Well, we do these things together. We worship together. And while I don't want to be fully distracted, I do want to look around and go, okay, yeah, I know how tired that guy. He actually had a second shift. That dude is dog tired. And look at him showing up to worship Jesus. You've spoken to me. I've watched you worship. I watch you sing. I see your head bowed. And it feeds your brothers and sisters. So on those days when you're feeling like, it's not a big deal. I don't want to go. I don't need to go. Oh, well, I in an effort to be positive, please go. Please go. Please come and encourage us. You might say, but I don't have a ministry. I don't do anything important. I'm telling you, your presence is important because your presence speaks. So on Sunday morning, as tired as you are, speak a good word and go to church. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.